The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Welcome to Grace in Focus, the Grace Evangelical Society's podcast broadcast for another episode centering on free grace theology and free grace values. We are glad that you are here today as we talk about gaining a rich entrance into Christ's kingdom. Steve Elkins and Bob Wilkin will be looking closely at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. That will happen in just a moment after I mention our website, faithalone.org, and invite you to go there for a look at our resources, books, videos, blogs, replays of this podcast, our beautiful full-color magazine, Grace in Focus. And right now, time is of the essence. We invite you to come and be a part of our national conference, the Grace Evangelical Society's national conference this year, May the 22nd through the 25th. If you find free grace theology interesting or important, you will want to be there. Here is Bob Wilkin with a descriptive word about that conference.
I really like this new venue we have for the annual Grace Evangelical Society conference, Camp Copus in Denton, Texas. It has the advantage having all that we need in one location. So we have the dining hall, breakfast, lunch, supper. It has all kinds of recreational activities. The two hotels are just terrific, and people are sitting around talking and interacting, and the meeting rooms are solid. So I really like this Camp Copus, and it also provides us an opportunity to have vacation Bible school for young people.
Thank you, Bob and friend. Please go to our website, faithalone.org, to find more information and to get registered for the Grace Evangelical Society's National Conference, May 22nd through the 25th this year. Now, Steve and Bob for today's discussion.
We're going to be talking today about a famous passage, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 11. And what's this passage about, Steve?
Let's just begin this way. Back in the Puritan days, many in America left the faith, departed from the Christian faith altogether because of a single verse here that pastors, Puritan pastors used. And it says this, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure." And as we'll talk about in just a second, the things that Peter has just described before this are these many different virtues and character qualities that we need to diligently work on and add to our faith. And the people thought, well, I don't have these things. I don't have maybe self-control, or I'm not growing in knowledge and virtue and so forth. And so they just assumed, well, I must not be elect. And they literally would walk away from the faith. Bob, today it's still happening with college kids.
All right. Wow. You have blown everybody away with some of the stuff you talked about. You talked about elect, whatever that means. Mm-hmm. You talked about Puritans, whatever that means. You talked about calling and sure. So a Puritan is an English Calvinist.
Right.
And they started in England and they came to the United States.
Yes.
Okay, so what is Calvinism?
Modern Calvinists and English Calvinists back then have really departed a little bit from Calvin himself.
Right.
They followed the Synod of Dort, which codified what we call the Tulip and the Five Points of Calvinism. And that system really went a little further in some cases than Calvin, though Calvin's to be blamed for being the source of a lot of it. I'm not trying to take him off the hook. But English Calvinism became known largely as Puritanism, and they're very strict and were under the law. We're not saved at the moment we believe in simple persuasion, but there are many other things. We've got to choose to trust. We have to have evidences of our faith. Of course, the whole tulip theology.
And so part of this Puritanism and much Calvinism today is Christ didn't die for everybody. Mm-hmm. Only a select group of people are chosen to be in Christ's kingdom. And if you're not chosen, then Christ didn't die for you and there's no hope for you, right?
Right.
And so how do you know you're one of the elect? Well, if it was simply a matter of saying, I believe John 3:16, that'd be fine.
Yeah.
But within Puritanism, there's true faith and then there's false faith.
Right.
False faith believes John 3:16 to some degree. They don't believe that they have everlasting life and will never perish. What they believe is if you're one of the elect, you will have everlasting life and you'll never perish. But you can't know you're elect. So what they do is they look for signs that you're elect, signs that Christ died for you. And those signs are, am I adding to my faith all these character qualities?
Yeah.
And the sad thing is, R.T. Kendall said, almost to a man, the leaders of the Puritan branch of the Reformation when they were on the deathbeds, they thought, I'm going to hell.
So no wonder we have college kids. That's all the theology they've been exposed to. The only brand of Christianity, really, that they know because of the popular speakers on the radio and the books and what they're exposed to is this kind of Puritan Reformed theology. So let me tell you about a fella, Derek Webb. Derek was the head of a famous Christian group years ago called Cademan's Call. He went on to have a successful recording career. But the only theology, evidently, that Derek Webb was associated with was Reformed theology. Years ago, he was on my summer staff at Frontier Ranch. He was already famous with Cademan's Call. And so one day I took him to lunch and exposed him to, I gave him some of Zane Hodges' books, The Gospel Under Siege, Absolutely Free, etc. Derek didn't seem too plussed by it. He was very gracious, very nice. But he was already into his Reformed theology. Not long ago, Derek has famously deconverted from Christianity. He's been on the radio and podcast and so forth. Listen to one of his recent songs. I'm just going to read a couple of lines from it. He says, so I'm back in the corner of this bar, just studying a glass in these faces. I've been looking for the one I lost and for eternity in all the wrong places. So either you aren't real or I'm just not chosen. Maybe I'll never know. Either way, my heart is broken. So I'll say goodbye for now, goodbye for now, goodbye for now. And Derek's representative of so many young college-age Christians who've walked away from church, from the faith, and so forth. But sadly, I think many times they're actually walking away from Calvinism. That's the only God that they've really known.
Which that wouldn't be a problem if they walked to the Scriptures and to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's talk about this passage then. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith. It's key to recognize here that faith alone is not going to give you the rich entrance spoken of at the end of this passage in verse 11 to the kingdom.
And it's clear that these are believers, as he said even back in the introductory verse, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us.
All right, so what are they supposed to add to their faith?
Well, they need to work real hard, giving all diligence, the word spude that we get speed from. So yeah. Work hard at it, spare no effort, work hard at adding your faith. Virtue, I think New American Standard says moral excellence.
Right.
And then to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love.
In other words, this is talking about maturity.
Absolutely.
Peter's calling believers to be mature in the faith and to stay mature in the faith and to keep on growing until the rapture or they die. And then he goes on.
Verse 8, for if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. And then this famous verse, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Well, notice what's interesting. In verse 8, there's basically two options. A believer might be unfruitful,
right?
Be short-sighted. They might forget the fact that they've been cleansed and forgiven.
Yes.
And I think what he's talking about here is the 1 John 1:9 experience of as we're walking with the Lord in fellowship with him, there's no reason why we shouldn't continue on that path. When he gets to verse 10, making your call and election, sure, this isn't election to eternal life. There is no such thing. This is election to ruling with Christ.
And we can prove that objectively, as Paul and all the apostles did. They quote from Jesus. Well, here, Peter's quoting a very famous rewards passage, two of them, Matthew 20 and 22. They're both clearly about rewards. The first one is the parable of the vineyard workers. He uses the word misthos and misthao to pay and to earn wages. It's the same word for rewards and the parable of the vineyard workers. And it concludes with, for many are called, but few are chosen. Same in the parable of the wedding feast where the guy shows up. He doesn't have the proper works that should befit a believer who should have been living for the Lord. And so he misses out on the rewards. And it says, for many are called, but few are chosen. Call for what? By the way, the parable of the wedding feast is the granddaddy passage for calling. He uses the word call five times within three verses. So here's a guy, he's responded to the invitation, the gospel, if you will. But as believers, we're all called to serve the Lord, to live for him, to have our lives count, to go for that abundant entrance and well done, good and faithful servant. And he doesn't. And so he's not chosen for the rewards, or in this case, in the story, chosen to have the joy of being in that banquet.
Right. So When you get to verse 11 says, "For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly," or richly, "into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." There's several things here. Number one, Peter is thinking, it looks like, of the new heaven and the new earth, but he may be thinking of the millennium, because the millennium is part of the eternal kingdom, right? It's not like Jesus has two kingdoms. The rich entrance here is going to be supplied. The verb in verse 5, "add to your faith," is the same that says "will be supplied."
Yeah.
Epikoregeo.
Added to. It's an additional. We're all going to have entrance, but we're all not going to have that wonderful, abundant entrance. It's an added thing.
What many people get wrong is they think what can be lost is your relationship with Christ. That can't be lost. Your entrance to the kingdom can't be lost. It's the rich entrance that can be lost.
Right. A lot of times, Bob, people ask, how can I know if I'm going to be one of the co-heirs? How can I know if I'm going to be greatly rewarded? Here's how. Make your call and election sure by working hard at adding these virtues to your faith.
Yeah. And by the way, it shows the Christian life is not entirely passive.
Absolutely.
I mean, there is a sense in which, of course, we're relying on God's power
Amen.
And strength. But on the other hand, this is all action stuff.
Yeah. I love Tony Evans. I love Zane Hodges. They always emphasize when they're preaching through the epistles, especially, there's our part and there's God's part.
So this passage does not undercut John 3:16.
Not at all.
Because we know we have everlasting life, now we can focus on the possibility of a rich entrance.
Wouldn't it have been nice if the fellows in the parable, the talents parable, the minas, the third servants, had had this mentality to get that abundant entrance?
That's
they
right.
didn't.
That's right. That's a good point. Well, thank you, Steve. We're glad you all are with us, and keep grace in focus.
Bob Wilkins' great book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible, is available half price right now in the GES bookstore, faithalone.org. Go there and use the code word MISUNDERSTOOD for 50% off through March the 31st, 2023. Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture and the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So stop by and get a free subscription at faithalone.org. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners. Maybe you've got a question or comment or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next episode of Grace in Focus, we will have a Grace Evangelical Society missions update report from Ken Yates and Catherine Wright. Please join us, won't you? This is the Grace Evangelical Society reminding you to always keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.